You're listening to The Beloved Community. The Beloved Community is heard every second Friday at 9 a.m. on KBOO. I'm John Schock. What happens when you or an aging parent finds it more and more difficult to maintain a home? Is the only choice moving to a retirement home or placing a burden on family members or others to do the things around the home that can't be done any longer? My next three guests are active in the Village Movement, Aging in Place. In the KBOO studio are Lynn Trainer, the managing director of Villages Northwest, and Bonnie Barksdale and Kathy Fradkin, who are volunteers and members and leaders of Viva Village in Beaverton. Welcome to the Beloved Community.
Thank you for having us.
I would start with Lynn first. The village, I don't know what the phrase is, village movement. I keep thinking of village people, but it's not quite that. But this is an age-in-place movement that started in Boston and is now in Portland. Can you talk about how it started?
Sure. In the late 90s, there was a huge snowstorm in Boston, and a number of people who had lived in Beacon Hill in the Back Bay for decades realized that if they were going to stay in their homes as they aged, that they needed some support. And so a group of them got together and talked about various options and came up with this concept of an age-in-place village, where we would provide volunteers to help with things like transportation, errands, technology, the things that friends and family would do but that you might not have somebody close by to help with.
Because now we live in a time in which people don't have family close by. Parents may live across the country or even across the state. And so the idea of aging in place is that people, when they get to the point where they can't take care of their lawn or they can't take care of some home repairs, they're able to use volunteers so they don't have to go to, say, a healthcare facility or a retirement home.
Right. And one of the challenges is, you know, even if they have family close, often people are having children later, and so the adult children are still raising their families. We have two family incomes, so they're working full-time, and family time is being spent more and more on chores as parents age rather than on family time. And so the concept for the village is, can we help with some of those things so that the senior still has autonomy and can do things on their schedule rather than having to rely as much on their families? And so it's a really nice thing to be able to do. One woman that I talked with recently, her grandson always maintains her deck. And last fall, you'll remember that the rains came very early, and he was taking finals and didn't get around to doing it. And so she called the village, and they came out and restained the deck before the weather turned too bad. So that was an example of being able to, for her to control when things were done and not to feel dependent on the family.
And so this movement began in Boston. Now it's nationwide. I noticed on the website there were 110 villages, but it's more than that now, right?
Yes, there are over 200 villages open across the country and another 150 in development and about 44,000 members.
And when did it come to the Portland Metro?
It started in the Portland area about 6 years ago when a woman came back to Portland from San Francisco, where they'd had villages, and she's like, there is no village here. Why is there not a village? I need to start one. And her background was in nonprofits and marketing, and so she went out and started talking to people, and all of a sudden people began knocking on her door going, how do I do this too? And so she decided that she was going to help start multiple villages here, which is how we came to the concept of Villages Northwest, which is a single 501c3 corporation. And all of the villages in the greater Portland area, which are now eight, operate under that corporation.
Eight villages so far here, and some are still being developed?
Two of the eight are still in development.
Two of the eight are in development, so six are already up and running.
And the ones that are in development are, while they're developing, they are doing social activities. So there are things that people can get involved with. They can help build the village. It usually takes 2 or 3 years to build the grassroots support to open a village to services.
I'm speaking with Lynn Trainer. She's the managing director of Villages Northwest, talking about the new aging-in-place villages that are becoming more and more popular and developing here in the Portland metro. I also have with me Kathy Fradkin, who is a member and volunteer in governing council and member of Viva Village. And Kathy is the person who I met a couple of years ago as you were getting a village started in the Beaverton area. Kathy, tell me about how this the village started in Beaverton.
Okay. About four years ago, the founder of Villages Northwest wanted to get more people involved from other communities in Portland metro area. Beaverton was one of those communities. One of our members, our founding members, was very excited about spearheading this, and so she did. And through one person starting this, it just grew and grew and grew through good marketing, tremendous enthusiasm from her as well as other people jumping on board. And we started a planning group, and it grew from one person to 50 people to 200 people to over 400 people now on the distribution list. So more and more people became involved, and we started developing and planning for the launch of Viva Village.
And that started just this last year, didn't it?
Yes, we opened up in October of last year. And we started with 30 memberships. And now we have almost 60 memberships. And we're very excited to continue with the memberships as well as with solid opportunities for volunteers to help meet the needs of those members.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. And Bonnie Barksdale is a member and a volunteer and on the council. You wear all three hats.
I do. When I went to the orientation meeting for Viva Village, I was very marginally interested in it. I thought, well, maybe I could help once a month or something to help someone. And when I heard the whole idea presented, I thought, this is really a great idea. And so as I read more about it, I wanted to be involved and wanted to use the skills I had in my former professional life. I was a school librarian and had done a website. So my husband and I decided we would help with the website. And that's how it's been all along with so many of us that are in Viva Village. We are using the skills that we have to help new members.
And that a website is villagesnw.org.
That's the overall website of our umbrella organization, and then each of the villages has their own website, and ours is vivavillage.org.
So how big is the geographic area of each village?
It ranges based on the sort of natural boundaries. Our newest village is called Willow. It's in the West Lynn Lake Oswego area, so it's basically the boundaries of those two communities. We have two very large villages. One is in Clark County, Washington, and it encompasses the entire Clark County. In Western Washington County, we have a village that goes from Alloa. It includes Alloa, Hillsboro, Forest Grove, and Cornelius.
And you have some in Portland as well.
Yes, we have villages in addition to the Viva in Beaverton. We have Northeast Portland, we have Southeast Portland, we have North Portland, and Southwest Portland.
Give me a story about why this village is really helpful and how it can make the difference between being able to age in your home as having to move to a retirement facility.
Well, I could speak to that. Our members receive help so that they can safely and affordably stay in their own homes and be comfortable as well and thrive. So we provide services that are necessary for them, but sometimes the services we provide are just helping them to thrive. And so, for example, I had someone come and help me in my garage, organize my garage. I walk with a walker, so I couldn't get to all the parts of my garage, and they fixed it so I could help myself, but it didn't take all my energy, and I made a new friend when that person came. So our members receive help making simple repairs in their home, changing light bulbs or hanging pictures, And maybe not just hanging pictures, but we have some people that are more skilled at decorating, and they can actually help us do a really good job with the hanging of the pictures and organizing them. We have we can get help organizing files and paperwork, cleaning closets, organizing the garage, as I mentioned, providing occasional light yard work. We don't replace your weekly lawn mowing service, but we can help with leaf raking leaves and weeding. I had someone come and help me clean the refrigerator, and I made a good friend as she looked at all my dates of my sauces that I had in there from my Chinese sauces that I hadn't used in a while. Uh-huh. And I was left with a new friend and a sparkling refrigerator. So we also, our members get transportation to medical appointments or grocery shopping and social events, going to church or visiting a friend. And there's personal support too. If a member, maybe they've had surgery and they need someone to check in on them, we'll make a phone call daily, visit just to chat. Help. I had help with a sewing project. I can't lean over and cut things. I can lay it out, but I can't cut it out. So someone came in and cut out a blouse that I wanted to sew. And then this is something for our younger members that they really love is the technology support. All of us love that. Assistance with computers and tablets and phones. And any kind of digital thing like setting up a thermostat. A lot of our members live by themselves. So sometimes it's hard to figure things out by yourself. And if you have another person come that has some expertise, it's a huge difference to make you be able to stay in your home.
And you mentioned more than one time about making a new friend. So mm-hmm. really that idea of making that human connection is so important, yeah. isn't it? And I would imagine that one of the skills that will be used a lot is transportation, because many times people aren't able to drive anymore and yeah. getting around.
Well, and about 65% of our services are transportation at this point. Half of those are for medical appointments. But as Bonnie said, we want life to be as normal as possible. So we have some people that use it because they love to go to the Keller to a show, but they don't want to drive downtown anymore. Or they don't drive at night, and they still want to go to their book club and see their friends. I have a friend whose mother's in her 90s, and she still sees a week. And the facility where she is living no longer does a run to the swimming pool because she's the only resident that wants to go. So a village could do that to help her stay healthy.
Now, if there somebody who might be interested in being a member, but I'm kind of wondering, well, who are the volunteers and yeah. how do I know I'm letting them in my house? Yeah. How do you work in terms of screening?
Sure. Well, volunteers are a variety of people. Over half of our members are volunteers. We also encourage younger volunteers because, for example, I have a filter under my kitchen sink that needs to be changed, and the likelihood that I'm going to crawl into that corner is pretty much zero. And I would love to have, and my plumber's 80 years old, so he's not going to do it anymore. So I need to find somebody who will do that job once every couple of years. You know, so we're looking for people with a variety of skill sets. We do background checks, level 3 criminal background checks. It's a national search on all of our volunteers.
Another volunteer activity that's used quite a bit is what Bonnie mentioned with technology. So when you get somebody who is very expert in computers, laptops, smart TVs, you're looking at $30 to $50 an hour. And our volunteers, many of them are retired technicians, and they're very sharp, and it comes second nature to them. So they come in and they help with any technology, and that again is, you know, they might spend an hour. That's $50 saved. That's already 1 month of membership. So because the services are so expensive, that it really pays off very quickly.
I'm speaking with Lynn Trainer and Bonnie Barksdale and Kathy Fradkin. They are all working with Villages Northwest. This is a nationwide movement and is now quite popular in Portland, Portland Metro. We have eight different villages, six already running and two being developed. That aging-in-place village, and that allows people to live in their own home. Now, how long might this go? Does it ever provide, for example, nursing care?
No, we are not professional medical providers. We want to fill in the gaps between those other services. What we know is that about 90% of Americans plan to stay in their homes as they age, and most of them can with the help of a village to help with some of those things. Obviously, if your health fails to the point where you need a high level of medical care, people are not going to be able to stay in their homes. And so what we hope is that by keeping them in their homes as long as possible where they want, they will preserve their assets, and the time and the resources will be available when they get to a point that they need a higher level of care.
And I have another question. You know, Portland, the metro, we're facing, we call it a housing crisis. We have rents going way up, housing prices going way up. And I'm thinking of perhaps an elderly person in her home, let's say, or his home. And it's a big house. And there may be people who would like to, who need housing. Is there any conversation about how those kinds of things might work out?
At this point, it's informal. In my village, we have a woman in her 90s who lives in a rather large house, and her family would like somebody else on the premises. And so she has talked with village members who are looking for housing. We also have a lot of people in our community who have worked all their lives. A lot of them are older women who became single parents at some point in their lives. They don't have a lot of financial resources, and they're looking for affordable housing. And we've had people that are in the last year here in Portland, we hear story after story of people who are being priced out of their housing. And so I am familiar with a program that's being resurrected by Ecumenical Ministries in conjunction with Elders in Action, where they are looking to start matching people again. And they are right now looking for landlords, and beginning this month they will start taking applications for people who are looking for housing.
A lot of the benefit that I'm seeing already are the connections being made, conversations about people's needs and people's assets, working people together in a rather disconnected sometimes society. The village is a wonderful metaphor and a reality for making those connections, isn't it?
People are actually excited to volunteer for the village, and we have, I believe at latest count, we have 14 different people that are volunteering in our office. So if a member would like to have co-housing and it has an interest in that, they can communicate that to the office. And then informally, that there could be connections made. Also, on our website, we have an open forum, an open discussion forum, where a member could go on and just post a message about needing housing or being able to offer housing, so that those connections can be made that way.
So how is the Portland Metro pretty well covered now? Or are there areas that need to be developed yet?
We do have some gaps in the area, and we are looking to develop in a longer term. You know, we've been active really for about 4 years now, and we have 9 simultaneous startup organizations, so we have plenty to do. But some of the areas where, if we can find a group to come together, Gresham, for example, Milwaukee, Oregon City, Tigard, Tualatin, and the downtown Portland core area, Northwest Portland.
My guests today, Lynn Trainer, Managing Director of Villages Northwest. Bonnie Barksdale is a member volunteer and governing council member of Viva Village. That's the one that's in Beaverton. And then Kathy Fradkin, a member volunteer and governing council member also of Viva Village. And this exciting village movement that is working to connect people, allow people to stay in their homes, build community because they're local. You get to know your neighbors. You volunteer. You become a member. And anything else?
You might wonder, what does the membership fee go for? And I would like, maybe Lynn could tell us.
Well, our goal is to have villages be active, thriving organizations 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Many of us who are involved now do not need an awful lot of services, but we will need them in 10 or 15 years. So we want to lay that foundation. And in order to do that, we are going to need paid staff for continuity. So right now, the expenses go toward things like marketing materials, the background checks for volunteers, insurance, training, things like that. Most of the villages, within a couple of years after opening, their core group of volunteers who've been running it are beginning to get tired, and so they need some paid staff to supplement that. We have put together a group of vetted vendors that are vetted by our villagers. There are over 40 companies now, and these are for things that are beyond our scope. So, for example, we have volunteers that are retired contractors, and they can go out and they might be able to do a small electric thing or a small plumbing thing, but they're going to look at it and go, no, this is something where you really need to have a professional do that. So then they can call the office and ask for a plumber or an electrician or a contractor to come out and help, and we have vetted those people. The other service that we provide is we can send a volunteer to be with a member when that vetted vendor comes to do the initial inspection and bid or to be on site.
Because that's a very good point, because certainly those who are in their home, aging at home, can be a bit vulnerable.
And sometimes you don't know the questions to ask, you know. And so if you can have somebody who knows a little bit more about roofing than you when you have that roofer come over, you know, they can help you ask the questions you need.
I just wanted to be sure and tell you about an event that's coming up. We try to have big events at least four times a year where we can invite new people to come and hear about the village, but also present information. And it just so happens we're having an identity theft event October the 21st in the Senior Center in Beaverton. But the interesting coincidence is that while we were meeting with the sheriff and the fraud detective, he got a text, and he pulled out his machine, little texter, and he said, oh, we have an Equifax breach. And so the news of the Equifax breach of spilling out 143 million identities to everybody happened while we were there talking with him about our identity theft event. Huh. So it's going to be quite an interesting event, and we'll be able to find out simple steps that we can take to protect ourselves from identity theft and scams.
Speaking there is Bonnie Barksdale, member of volunteer and governing council member of Viva Village. My guests, Kathy Fradkin and Lynn Trainer, are talking about the aging in home village movement that is sweeping across the country as well as Portland.
There's really three major components of the village movement. One is the services that we've already talked about. Another one is the screen professionals that Lynn just talked about. Those are two very valuable and well-used components. Another one is events. So, Bonnie, can you talk a little bit about the scope of events? Because this is, again, another way that we build community and get to educate ourselves as well.
Some of the big events that we've had are a fitness event at the Senior Center, where we learned ways seniors can exercise and stay fit. We've had earthquake preparedness presented by Beaverton, the CERT communicator. We've had an organization event presented by a professional organizer. We've had garden events that give us ideas for tools and plants that help seniors maintain their gardens. One of our best events, I think, was our Gift of Caring, where we had one of the authors of the book Gift of Caring come and tell us how we can advocate for ourselves and for other people in the medical community. And one thing I learned from that is that dehydration is a big problem with seniors, and I should watch for that in other people. And it actually gives you the symptoms of dementia when you're dehydrated. So we don't want that when we go to the doctor, do we? So there's in our village, we also have small events that are like a nature walk, a TED Talk luncheon, men's coffee. We have a dine around event where we go to a different cafe each month. we're going to go on the senior safari with the zoo where they let us in free for a day. We go to the light opera. We have gone several times to the Northwest Senior Theater for events. We do socials once a month where kind of the same people tend to come to that event. The same people tend to come to the book club event. So it's a way to make friends because you know that the same people are going to be at that event. And it's a way of building community.
What about rural areas? Is the village movement connected at all with rural areas in the country?
Oh, absolutely. There's a village in Massachusetts called Nauset Neighbors that was one of the early villages. They're entirely rural. There's a village in Bend. There's a village in Ashland. I even talked with a woman recently who had started a village in Creswell, Oregon, and they had 4 members. And so I've heard, I think down in the Brookings or Bandon area, there's also a group coming together.
We're talking about the Aging in Place Village, and my 3 guests are from the Lynn, Kathy, and Bonnie are from Villages Northwest. That website again is villagesnw.org. Thank you all for being with me today.
Thank you, John.
The Beloved Community is heard every second Friday at 9 a.m. on KBOO. I speak with people who are working to build the Beloved Community. I'm John Schuck. If you have ideas for guests or thoughts about the program, email me at johnschuck@kbu.fm. For a podcast of this show, go to kboo.fm/beloved community. Be well.